stand before you and bring the word. I'm humbled as God has seen fit to give me this opportunity. Even though I went into a panic mode yesterday when I realized tonight was my night. So I got all confused with the starting up the youth group and with all the soccer games and everything. So I kind of got lost in my schedule, but here I am, and God is faithful. So if you'll turn over, if you haven't already, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll be beginning in verse 9, but have you ever thought about what it means to be chosen by God? Have you ever wondered what the real implications of God choosing a people for himself truly are? As parents, we all love our children unconditionally, and our commitment to them develops, even though it seemingly is completely random what child gets put with what parents, right? So although we as parents do not choose our children, we would do anything for them. Now picture this. God created everything, and he has chosen a specific people to be his. And this is done in order for him to show his glory to all the world. And as we come to this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter is describing for us this exact picture. He uses the experiences of the Hebrews in the past to show them that the chosen people of God continues in those of us who are in Christ. As we unpack what Peter is saying in these two verses, I think we learn three aspects of what it is to be one of God's chosen people. One, God has chosen us to be his people for his purpose. He's chosen us for a specific purpose. We have become God's people, whereas before we were no people at all. And finally, God has extended his mercy to us. So let's read the passage and then we'll dig into this into it. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the first thing that we learn from this passage is that not only has God chosen us, but he has chosen us for his purpose. Verse 9 uses four different descriptions of God's people. They're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. Let's look at each one. First, we are a chosen people. That in and of itself is significant because it signifies to us that God handpicked each person who is in Christ. We didn't choose him, he chose us. We did not choose to come to God through Christ. He chose us to be in him. And Jesus says so much, as Scott talked about this morning in John 15:16, Jesus says this very thing, that we did not choose him, but rather he chose us. And as his chosen people, then, he goes on to tell us that we are made a royal priesthood. The role of the priest in the Old Testament was to perform the duties of the temple, and to stand before God on behalf of the Hebrew people. And the priests were chosen, and they were set apart by God, even though they were descended from, they were in the Levite tribe, and they were descended from Aaron. They were chosen by God to do that job. They were subjected to rituals and sacrifices in order to cleanse them so that they could stand in the presence of God. In like manner, God chooses us, and he sets us apart for his service here on earth. And when we are cleansed by the blood of Christ's sacrifice, his sacrifice is once for all time, and it never needs to be repeated. So once we're cleansed, we're cleansed. And God sets us apart then as a nation of believers. And that is what holy means. It means that we are set apart. We're a nation set apart for God. Did you ever think of that as the body of Christ, that we're actually a nation of people? God made us as believers, as Christian people, to be a nation. We are, yes, Christ's church, but we are also a nation. So we are holy. God set us apart. And as the Creator, God owns everything but we are his special possession with a special purpose in his service. And that purpose here is that we may declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his light. The purpose that God has chosen us to do is to bring glory to himself through our praise of him for who he is. So what we do as we go out and evangelize, as we talk to others, as we live out the Christian life, we basically, our life should be singing praises to God as our creator, as we are his special possession. Secondly, Peter goes on to tell us that at one time we were not a people, but that now we are because of God choosing to make us a people. We are a people united in Christ for a singular purpose. The implication then is that prior to coming to Christ, that we were not able to be one people living in unity with each other. And as you observe the world around us, there's a lot of disunity out there. Even in our own country, there is a lot of disunity, especially now, and I won't go into all the specifics, but you guys are observant people and you understand what's going on. So as God brings us to himself in Christ, then that gives us the ability, he gives us the ability to become a united people and again, to become a united nation. And then it is inferred then that everyone outside of Christ is out for themselves and that they are incapable of living a life that is pleasing to God. And because of this, we then can see the third aspect of this passage, that God has extended his mercy to us. We were completely separated from God because of our sin, but God chose us and then he extended his mercy to us. Without the mercy of God, we have no hope whatever of a restored relationship with God, nor of being able to live in unity with our fellow man. We also cannot obtain this mercy on our own. God extends mercy to us, and he chooses to whom also to extend that mercy. Contrary to what many want to believe, we are completely and literally at the mercy of God to be chosen to be one of his people and to have his mercy extended to us through Christ. I think that's pretty obvious, but from this passage, but God will extend his mercy to whom God will extend his mercy is basically what Peter is telling us. And then as an implication of that, then we can praise God because he has chosen to extend us his mercy. And so therefore we should live lives that are pleasing to him, that sing praises to him. So in conclusion, we learn that from Peter that God has chosen us, that because God has chosen us, we have become his people, and God has extended his mercy to us. And the application is simple. Because God has chosen us to be his people and has extended his mercy to us, we ought to live each moment of our lives seeking to proclaim his praise in every aspect of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your mercy that you have extended to those of us who are believers in Christ. We thank you for Christ and his sacrifice and for the forgiveness of sin that we can have in his blood. And we just we pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that we say and do here tonight. And that as we go throughout our lives this week, that we would live lives that sing praises to your glorious name. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.